Welcome to the Principal Podcast today. Today, I am thrilled to have with us Dr. Jack Stoltzfus, who's a psychologist. He is America's launch coach, and his mission is to help parents successfully launch their children on the path to adulthood while still maintaining a good, caring bond with them. And it looks like he's written a book on Amazon called Parenting Our Young Adults with Love and Backbone. And his newer book, The Launch Code, Loving and Letting Go of Our Adult Children, is due at the end of the summer. So, Jack, is that correct? Did I get that right? Or was that?
It's actually out now. So that
books are out now.
It's available on Amazon. Here's a shameless pitch for it. Here's the book. So
there you go. Yeah. Thanks, Jack.
Yeah.
So this is an important topic for so many parents. So many parents find themselves, they have adult children living at home. What's going on?
Well, I think it's almost somewhat of a hidden epidemic that we have a large number of young adults, 18 to 29, living at home, larger percentage than at any time in history. And the parents aren't typically talking about that. They don't like to talk about the fact that their son is down in the basement playing video games and vaping, to their friends and family members. So they're a little embarrassed to say something about that. And then at the same time, the young adults don't want to talk to their friends about living with mommy and daddy. So I think it's a little bit under the radar. How this has come about, I have my own kind of hypothesis or theory about this, is that over time we have shifted from in my growing up period, the mantra was kids are to be seen and not heard. We now have a mantra that says kids come first. And most of the families, and I'm in the boomer generation, so I'm looking at my generation started more the kids come first kind of mindset. But I think that's carried on through Gen X and millennials and as we go further down. And I think that's come about because parents have become more invested in the success and the happiness of their kids than past generations. I think, when I was growing up, my parents, I think, figured you're 18 or 21, you're out of here. I've done my job. Mm-hmm. I don't
that's
need
right.
to do anything. Right.
Right.
Today, because we want our kids to be happy and successful, if they're 18 and they're not happy and they're not making progress, or they're 20 or they're 22, now I'm getting anxious and I'm starting to try to, how can I control and how can I help them? And maybe I'm allowing them to sit at home and they not have a job or whatever, which is not helpful to them. And just overextending. And unfortunately, I think that sends a message to the young adult that maybe I'm not capable of being on my own because my parents seem to think I need more help too. So it's a little bit of a, who's having the problem letting go? I think it's coming from both ends at times. So
I tend to agree with you. And I'm of the opinion, Dr. Jack, that, it's almost parents' job to, in a healthy way, make life hard for their kids. In other words, if I make things really, really easy for my kids, all they have to do, they don't have any chores around the house, they don't have to do anything. Am I really serving them? I mean, there's a reason why people go to the gym. It's because they want to stress their muscles out. They literally want to go. When you go to the gym, you work out so hard that your muscle fibers tear. And mm-hmm. and then they build back stronger. If you sit on the couch, the muscle fibers actually atrophy. So going to stress, and maybe stress out isn't quite the right word, but to appropriately stress those muscles and actually tear them makes us stronger. We go to the gym so we can stress ourselves out in a way and we get stronger. Mm-hmm. And if we said, well, we don't want to have any stress, we don't want to have any high heart rate, or we don't ever want to have anything that's a little bit difficult for us to do, then we sit home on the couch, we eat potato chips, and slowly our muscles start to waste away. Our ability to have a healthy body diminishes. Our lifespan may even diminish as we don't do hard things. And so I wonder if parents who are listening to this realize that it's okay to have your kids do hard things, and we don't have to say, oh, I have to take care of every single thing. And I think some parents almost feel guilty, or they feel like, well, if I don't do this, then I'm not a good person. And in my view, what they're doing is kind of taking the self-esteem away from their children by not letting them do hard things and trying to bolster their own self-esteem by doing it for them. And that, frankly, is counterproductive. Would you agree with me on that, or what are your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. Well, to use your going to the gym and workout routine, I heard that Arnold Schwarzenegger once said, "Nobody gets muscles by watching me lift weight." So it doesn't work that way. So here you got two parents going to work and the young adult sitting home playing video games. He sees them going to work. That's not going to help him or her be more, have some sense of urgency about working or the need or responsibility to work. So, I think that we have too often created kind of a soft landing for our kids and sometimes taken away the consequences that they need to experience that help them deal with the real world. Okay, you got a ticket because you were speeding. I'm not going to pay for it. You're going to pay for
That's
it.
right.
You need gas in the car. Well, you need to get a job then and put gas in the car.
That's right.
So, yeah, I do think we've erred, not out of it's not out of neglect, it's out of being out of love, but being too concerned about the in some ways their self-esteem. Well, this might be hard on them. Well, that's how you build resiliency and grit is by being somewhat pushy and demanding that hey, you got to do this. This is your responsibility. And parents have, I think, too often kind of backed away. Well, it might be too hard on them or whatever. And I think that that's a mistake, that I think we've made along the way. So.
I agree with you, and I think kids can handle a lot of times more than you think. As we talk about this, I remember. I'll just share a story. My 5-year-old daughter comes to me, and she said, "Hey, Dad, I want to hike this mountain." And this mountain near where we live is 11,700 feet tall. I mean, people come from all over to hike it. It's thousands and thousands of feet. And she's 5 years old and says, "Dad, I want to hike this mountain." And there was a I'm sitting here in my mind, I'm wondering, what should I say to her? And luckily I said, if you really want to hike it, we can try. We'll definitely give it a shot here, but I want you to know your feet are going to hurt because we got to hike for 15 miles up thousands and thousands of feet. What are you going to do when your feet hurt? She said, "Well, I'll take a break, Dad, and we can keep going when they don't hurt as much." I said, "Okay. What are you going to do when you get tired? We're going to have to turn around?" She's like, "No, we're not going to turn around." I said, "Okay, are you sure about that?" Well, we ended up hiking. To her credit, she did. She hiked this entire mountain. There was a lot of people towards the top that were high-fiving her. They gave her a standing ovation when she got to the top. But I could have easily said, "Hey, you know what? You're too young. Don't do it." And I think a lot of times parents who are coddling their children, frankly, that's what it is, who are saying, "Hey, I can't let you have something hard because you might break." The real unspoken message is you're too weak. Like, you can't handle it. And so the message is, yeah, I do have to rescue you. I do have to provide a home until you're 30 because you're just not good enough to make it on your own. And what they should be saying is, you know what, life's hard, but you can do this. You got this. And I think when they have that attitude, the kids start to sense that mom and dad really have faith that they can do it, and they live up to the expectation often, right?
Right. Sometimes it's the parents' belief in the child or young adult teen or whatever that allows them to move forward when they don't believe in themselves. Sometimes the parents have to be, "You can do this. I believe in you." Now parents have to manage their anxiety at times about, well, maybe it's too much. Well, you have to kind of manage that. And that's kind of contagious. I had this young man, 25 years old. He was getting his license, so he had his permit. He had Asperger's, so he's on the autism spectrum, and kind of a and also ADHD. So he'd get in the car with his mother, and his mother would say, Would you like to drive? Do you want to drive? There was so much anxiety in her voice that he said no. It made him anxious that he didn't want to drive. So it's a good example about how anxiety of a parent can be contagious and create the level of anxiety and kind of inability, in a sense, for the young adult to do the thing that he needed to do. Funny, in that case, the parents found this friend, adult friend from church, and he taught him how to drive. The adult friend believed in him, wasn't anxious. Sometimes it's the best thing to not, as a parent, not to be the one to teach your kid to drive. Get somebody else, you know. So.
Right. So the unspoken message was, hey, you can't drive, and you can feel my anxiety. And so it makes the other person anxiety. It reminds me, somebody once said that if you're walking down the street and your child skins their knee, so if they trip and they've got a little scraped knee, if you're the kind of parent that says, oh my goodness, you scraped your knee, and that you kind of freak out, and we got to get a Band-Aid on this, we got to get something on it. You're really saying that unspoken message that, hey, you're fragile. And then when the kid scrapes their knee and you're not there, they hear your voice in their head. And if you were just to handle it calmly and say, it looks like you scraped your knee, you're going to be okay. It will hurt for a while. I've scraped my knee before and it hurt, but it'll get better here. And you just act like it's no big deal and you're calm about it. Then when they scrape their knee and you're not there, they realize, oh, my dad or my mom thought it was no big deal, and it doesn't have to be a big deal that I scrape my knee, right?
I mean, the title of my website is parentsletitgo.com, and that's my focus is really helping parents to manage their own kind of expectations and their anxiety and their tendency to step in too much and take over too much and do too much for kids. I had a You were talking about the messages that we give kids. And one of my mentors once said that in the traditional family, where it tended to be the male went to work and made money, and the wife was staying at home, that mothers taught kids about unconditional love and dads taught kids about conditional love. There's no free lunch out there. Now you got moms and dads both at work. So I think they both have to say that message too. It can't be just the dads, but the kids have to learn there's no free lunch in the world. You may have a free lunch at home, but that's not going to help you if you don't learn how to make some money to buy your own lunch out there. So.
So let's talk to these. So if you're a parent and you're feeling, say, it's hard for me to be firm because I feel guilt about I feel guilt about something. Maybe they wish they were home more, but they're working, or they're just feeling guilty about something. Like, what would you tell a parent who says, hey, it's hard to be firm? Or maybe this parent is afraid because they're like, I don't think my adult child can make it on their own. What would you tell a parent, Jack, in that situation?
Well, I guess a couple of things come to mind. One is in one of the practices that I encourage parents to invest in or to strengthen is a practice of apologizing to their kids. So if there's something that you feel like you did or didn't do when they were growing up that makes you feel guilty and in some ways compromises your ability to stand firm with that young adult, like, okay, I went through a divorce, or I was worked all the time and I wasn't there for you in some way. You need to apologize. That helps you with your guilt, and it also softens any resentment that the young adult might have towards you in doing that. So that would be one thing, that to take care of a certain amount of guilt that might exist there. I also tell parents that okay, to make the decision about how you combine what I call love and backbone is ask three questions of yourself when you're trying to make the decision. Is the decision to do this or my action made out of love and not out of guilt or fear or resentment or anger or frustration? Secondly, is my decision or action in line with my principles about telling the truth, and being honest and keeping promises and being responsible? Core principles that everybody has to abide by in society. And then the third thing is my action or my decision likely to increase the independence of my young adult, or is it going to cause more dependency? So if I give this money and I just take over and say, okay, you want this car, I'm going to buy this car for you. What does that really teach the young adult at that point? You're not teaching any responsibility. If I say, okay, I'm going to put some money out here, I'll match you, but you got to raise the money, the rest of the money to buy that car. Then that teen or young adult has skin in the game and they have investment in that. And then I think you're adhering to a certain principle, that you got to be responsible too. People are not just going to take care of you.
That's right. And you're actually being kind in by doing
Absolutely.
that. Because if by giving him the money, you're basically your unstated message is you're too weak to figure this out and you need someone to take care of you. And in the real world, that's not how it works. And so when you say, hey, I'm going to teach you to learn to take care of yourself, that way, even though it may come across as to some as like a little bit hard, is actually kindness because you're helping him become people who can deal in the real world. Is that correct, Jack?
Absolutely. I think sometimes that people, and boomers in my generation, there's a certain level of income that's happened here. And my daughter, who's a millennial, made the comment that she just thought that she would automatically have the same standard of living as we have, without somehow earning it. It was just going to automatically happen, and so, I think it's important to have these young adults really understand that there's a that you have to make some effort. You have to have skin in the game to be able to be successful in your life. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I wonder if parents started thinking it from this perspective instead of saying, "How can I make my children's life easier?" If the question was something more along the lines of, "How can I make their life? How can I give them experiences that are just hard enough for them in a good, healthy way, but hard enough for them so that they can learn to be great adults as they grow up?" And sometimes that's just letting them have the consequence. Like, for example, if they forget their homework, some parents will say, "Well, I'm going to rush in and I'm going to bring their homework." Or they forgot their lunch for a day, and so I'm going to run to the school and bring them a lunch. I'm going to bring them their homework. So they kind of have this helicopter mentality. I'm going to rescue my kid. But maybe if you had the conversation to say, "You know what? Your job is to remember to bring your lunch, and your job is to remember to bring your homework. And if you don't, then you'll need to have the consequence." And yeah. If they actually have the consequence of maybe not having their lunch for one day, they might remember it the next day and they might never do it again, right? Or they and it's not that we're trying to be harsh. What we're trying to do is say, in the real world, when they're young, the stakes are pretty low. But if you continually don't show up or do what you need to do at your job, you might get fired. And so we're trying to let them have that failure point when they're young so they can learn. So when they're older, they don't have to have that a failure that has a lot more at stake.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, a funny story that along those lines. My daughter, who was really difficult, and it was a good thing for her to go away for college to college, for both her and for us. And she didn't go that far, about 5 miles down the road. A couple months into being at college, she calls and said, "Dad," said, "I didn't get back to the dining room in time, and they closed the dining room. Can you bring a sandwich over to me?" After I pulled myself off of the floor laughing with hysterically about this, I said, "What planet are you on? I'm not running a sandwich over to you." I thought I didn't even want my parents anywhere near me in college, and she's thinking I'm going to bring a sandwich over. But then I hung up and I thought, well, wait a minute. Why would she think that? This would be an entitled person. Well, who entitled them? When parents say these kids are so entitled, you have to ask yourself, well, who entitled them? Because then I had to think about,
That's right.
what have I done to create that sense that she could think I'm going to DoorDash a sandwich over to her or something? So,
Right. That's an interesting, yeah.
Yeah, I think I always tell parents, they have to have skin in the game, match them, give them some seed money, do halfway, but make them invest. They have to invest in that. And I also say, no's not a four-letter word, and that can be the most loving thing that you could do for your teen or young adult is to say no. I had to tell my daughters I was a little overprotected. Protective of it, then I said, "You're not going to this nightclub down in Minneapolis, First Avenue. Not going to happen. Not while you're under my roof." Maybe that's overprotective, but they got to learn that, and they get the message there. Okay, maybe there's some places I shouldn't be going to. That maybe there's some risk or some danger there with them. So.
No, I hear that. And I actually think, as a dad, I think our natural instinct is to provide and protect, as you said. So if you know that there's some bad stuff going on at that nightclub, I think it's okay to say no. And you can tell them the reasons why. I care about you, and I know that there's this kind of stuff going on. And as your dad, I'm going to protect. And I think that's okay, frankly.
Yeah, I mean that's a good example of where I think I don't have any regrets about that. That was me acting in love saying no. So you can say no in love and it'd be the right thing. So
Right. So when should a parent evict, Jack?
that's good. That's a really good question. Because there was a story 3 or 4 years ago. I think his name was Michael Matumba or something. He was 32 years old, and his parents finally went to the judge and got an eviction notice for him. He had to be evicted from the home. And it made national news. It was in the national papers. Even a picture of him loading the car up and leaving. But I wrote a blog saying, when should you evict? And then I said, never. And then what I meant by that was because a lot of times parents will think, oh, I'm kicking my kid out of the house if they don't abide by certain expectations that we have at home. And I tell them, you're not kicking them out. They're choosing to live someplace else because they could say, hey, I want to move out. That's one way to say they need to move out. But another way is to say, no, I'm not going to abide by your rules. I'm going to bring drugs in here. I'm bringing pot in. And the parents have said, no, you can't do that. Or I'm not going to do any work. I'm just going to sit around and play video games. No, that's not acceptable here. So it tells me you want to live someplace else. But then I try to tell the parents, because that part of my mission that you referenced in the beginning is I want to try to keep a caring connection with the young adult, even if they have to leave the home. So just say, well, it seems like it's your time to live on your own. So let's help you. We'll give you some furniture. We'll maybe help you get started in an apartment. We'll help you look for maybe a roommate or something. So you kind of join them, but you're saying, I understand you don't like living here. It doesn't work for you and it's not working for us. So we'll help you find someplace else to live. And maybe it's just time. Maybe they need to be on their own and figure it out for themselves too. So.
Right. Let's talk just briefly about the preventative thing. So a lot of times people find themselves in this crisis. They're like, okay, I now have this child who I need to get out of the home, and they're not working, they're not playing, they're playing video games, they're not living. But I wonder if the problem started a long time ago. I wonder if it would have been helpful for those parents to say, you know what, when you're 4 and 5 and 6, let's have you empty the dishwasher, fill the dishwasher, and
Oh,
clear the
yeah.
table and sweep the floor and give them responsibility so that work is kind of a part of the culture in your family. Like, hey, we're going to go mow the lawn, or we're going to go work in the garden, or we're going to go shovel snow, or whatever it is we need to do. And so they know that work is there. And then also even having the discussion, you know, hey, my job as a parent is to make it so that you don't need me, right? Like, if I at some point I'm not going to be around, and I want you to be strong enough and skillful enough and just awesome enough to go fly on your own and have those conversations when they're 5 and 6 and 8 and 12. And so when they get to 18, they already know that my dad or my mom or both expect me to go fly on my own. So it's not like this shock to the system. Hey, by the way, we need you out. we're from the beginning, we're letting them know that we're going to give you jobs. It's not because we can't fill the dishwasher. Trust me, I can fill the dishwasher, but I want you to learn to do it. I'm going to give you a responsibility to go mow the lawn or sweep the floor or do something, clean the bathroom. And then the work becomes part of that. And then also the discussion as we go along, like, hey, life's hard. We're going to teach you how to do hard things. So when you get to that point, you can fly and it's going to be great. You're going to be great. We can hope you can come back and visit us, but we just, we want you to be able to fly on your own. And you have that discussion early on. So it's not a like we wait till it's a crisis and then we have to evict you kind of thing, right?
Right. Yeah, I think it's our responsibility is to help these kids become self-sufficient and responsibly independent. And that process starts early on with helping them to understand that they have a responsibility as part of the family. You know, this is not a free ride here. We, as parents, we work. Your responsibility is go to school. That's your job. We have a job, you have a job. At home, we have things that have to get done, and we're all going to work together. Everybody has to pitch in. So they get that sense of responsibility that I think is really important. And early on, helping them make choices. Okay, hey, you're going to have to make a choice. You're going to have to make some decision on this. Let's think about what are the pros and cons of this, as opposed to always telling them what to do. And as they get older, that doesn't work well at all. They get into the teen years, the directing and controlling, commander general kind of parenting doesn't work at all at that stage. You really have to shift into becoming more of a consultative parent, where you say, okay, you got to make decisions, about you've got, if you want to go to college, okay, you're going to have to think about your grades and getting your homework done. How are you going to do that? And then I tend to like to, even though my kids are adults now, I still want to give them my opinion. But I always do that in I call it a sandwich way. I first tell them, look, I'd like to tell you my experience with this and how what worked and didn't work for me or what I know about this, but it's your decision. And then I'll tell them what I think, hey, you should consider this because it's going to cost you more to do this than that or whatever. And at the end, I say, okay, but it's your decision. And I'm not going to be mad at you if you don't follow my advice. And believe me, they don't always follow my advice either. So I think, oh man, why did they do that? So, but that has to happen because they have to take over that responsibility,
Right. That's a great point. I'm glad you stressed that. Being
Yeah.
more and just kind of a sandbar, like, if you make this decision, what do you think would be the consequences of that? If we go this way, what would be the consequence? Talking it to them, let it
Yeah.
and then let them make the decision, right?
Yeah, helping them learn to do problem solve and evaluate things and look at the pros and cons, as opposed to just taking over and kind of making the decision for them. So.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And in the end, what we really want are confident, strong kids who, frankly, when we at some point we're not going to be around, who can handle things,
Yeah.
who will be thriving, productive, awesome, loving, caring individuals who can handle it without us there.
Yeah.
I had one more thought. I would like to get your opinion on this. One of the things my wife and I were chatting about recently is we talked about letting our children do things as much as they can for themselves. So, like for example, if my daughter comes to me when she was really young and says, "Hey, Dad, will you make me a peanut butter sandwich?" Well, the truth is, I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I've made hundreds of them. I'm sure I could get it put together in, 30 seconds. I could have her peanut butter sandwich. But if I, on the other hand, said, I bet you can make a sandwich. Like, what do you think we should do to make a sandwich? She said, "Well, I need to get some bread." Well, where's the bread? It's in the pantry. Well, what else do you want on your sandwich? I want to have some peanut butter and some jelly. Well, where is it? It's in the fridge and in the pantry. And I can say, okay, well, I bet you can figure out a way to do this. And we've tried doing that, and to see their satisfaction when they actually made it. Now you got to be prepared. Like the sandwich might have peanut butter on the counter, and you might have some jelly mess, and
Yeah,
it might
sure.
take them 10 times longer for them to make the sandwich than you could do it in 30 seconds. But at the end, they have the satisfaction that I did it, and they have the confidence to know they can do it rather than just you doing it. And I think there's so many parents whether it's guilt or fear or whatever, where they just say, "Well, I'm just going to do it for you. I'll provide for you. I'll do the sandwich for you. I'll bring the lunch to school. I'll buy you a car," whatever it is. And it actually is weakening the kid, their children, rather than help building that confidence where, hey, I can do this. Thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Sometimes it's just convenience. I can do it quicker. I know it's going to take longer. I'll do it, and I'm busy. And so it's sometimes it's just impatience. But I think we have to recognize as parents, one of our most important roles is to be teachers, to teach them how to do things.
Yes, thank you. I have to interject there. Yes.
So you can say, okay, I can do this for you, but am I teaching this child anything if I do it for them? And this is a good question that a parent has to ask themselves. Is this a teaching opportunity for me? Am I missing a teaching opportunity where I can have them learn something on their own and get that kind of pride and satisfaction and that sense of capacity, capability that they really need to develop over time? So I think that's a It's just such an important role for parents all the way through into the launching stage too. So
Jack, these are huge words of wisdom. So grateful that you've been able to share with us. Is there anything else that you would tell our audience today that you feel, parents who are thinking about, I got to get my child lost. Is there any other advice that you think we've missed that people should know?
I think the majority of young adults who are struggling are going to land on their feet. Parents worry too much because they look at their own life and they went right from high school to college and right to a job or whatever, and they think, well, this kid's taken a whole lot longer to do that. It doesn't mean that they're not going to ultimately land on their feet. So I try to tell parents to be patient. It's taken longer these days. Young adults change jobs 7 times in their 20s on average. That would have been unheard of 50 years ago. If you change jobs and that's on a resume, that was a bad mark for you applying for a job. They get married later. First marriage for males is 30 and for females is 29. 50 years ago it was 23 and 21. I think that's a good thing. Take some time to figure out who you are before you end up committing a lifetime together with somebody. So have more optimism, more hope, have some more patience. The message I get is they're going to be all right. They're going to bounce around. Maybe they start school, they stop. They get in a relationship, they're out. They're back home, they're out. It's just taking longer these days for a variety of reasons, but I think there's all a lot of good reason to be hopeful, parents to be hopeful about it, not and optimistic. So
I like that. So be optimistic and be hopeful and realize it's going to work out. I love that. And that's the same message we can send to them too. You might have a few bumps along the way. It might be a little bit of a roller coaster, but it's going to work out. And hearing that confident from you as a parent to them could be helpful as well. Well, that's wonderful, Jack. How can people get a hold of you?
Well, my website is called parentslettinggo.com. And there's also, and this is really my guidebook for parents on the launching process. This,
Called the Parents Launch Code, correct?
right, loving and letting go of our kids, of our adult children. It's always loving and letting go. I don't want to, it's not a kick your kid out of the house formula. It's about how you keep that caring bond with them when they leave. So there's a lot of good, I think, good information and resources, both in the Parents Letting Go website and in the book. So
Awesome. Well, Jack, I appreciate that. So it's the launch code, loving and letting go of our adult children. Parentslettinggo.com. We're going to put that in the show notes for those of you who are listening or on the road as you listen. If you want to look up Jack, Dr. Jack, we are so thank you so much for taking the time to share your wisdom on our podcast today. And thank you again for being here.
Thank you. This is a mission thing for me. All the any royalties I get from this goes to charity. I'm not I do this because it's a heartfelt kind of mission of helping parents. So,
Awesome. Jack, thank Dr. Jack, thank you so much for being on the show.
thank you.